Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Just Ask webinar and podcast. My name is Tara Thompson. I am one of the co-founders of Just Ask. I'm a pharmacist along here with my very amazing colleague, nurse practitioner, Dr. Heather Quayle. And today we have a most amazing speaker. First of all, I wanted to welcome Terry Elder to the show. Hey, Terry.
Hi.
And we'll introduce Terry. But before we do so, I just wanted to welcome everyone to the podcast. We are so excited to have everyone here. We hope you learned something really new, really great today, all the new things. Don't forget to just ask your questions. We are a panel who meets once a month to bring on a sexual health expert to talk about the process, different aspects of sexual medicine, and encourage you as listeners, as patients, to ask your questions, seek out your providers, seek out help for yourself, and advocate for your health. So wanted to go over a couple of our initiatives. Our main initiatives for Just Ask are to promote, to debunk, and to advocate. So we want to promote the understanding of conversation around men's and women's sexual health and wellness. We want to debunk any myths or taboos surrounding sexual dysfunction or other intimate topics. And we want to advocate for an evidence-based approach by members of the community to our patients and other clinicians on sexual health issues, including a myriad of things. So to get all of our entire initiatives, mission, vision, and values, check out our Facebook page, Just Ask. So without further ado, I want to throw it over to Heather to introduce our amazing guest today. We cannot wait to start talking with Terry. Go ahead, Heather.
Hi, everyone. Happy New Year. Happy January. Happy season two to us at Just Ask, our little labor of love that Tara and I decided to start last year. So thank you for tuning in. And if you like what we're doing, please make sure to share us with your friends. Share us on Instagram. We exist out there. Just Ask ATL. So without further ado, I can't wait to introduce one of my amazing colleagues, Terry Elder, who is a physical therapist, and she is amazing, amazing, amazing. So thank you, Dr. Terry, for being here with us. So let me go ahead and read a little bit about you so that our viewers know or our listeners know. Dr. Terry Elder, she, her, hers, is a passionate about collaborating with people experiencing uncertainty about pelvic, bladder, or bowel symptoms and to find understanding and relief. So that they can thrive and cultivate joy in movement and sport. Terry graduated from Georgia State University with a doctorate in physical therapy in 2004, following a decade-long career as a neuromuscular massage therapist and educator. She spent the last 6 years as a physical therapist at a large hospital system, practicing in acute care as well as outpatient, with primary areas of interest in oncology treatment and pelvic health. She holds a certificate as a Kripalu, and I may have just botched that, yoga teacher, and a Pilates instructor, and is a certified lymphedema therapist. Dr. Elder also holds a position as part-time faculty in the Department of PT at Georgia State University. She relocated into Brevard, North Carolina in 19 in search of more of hiking and biking trails and a wonderful community to share with her partner of 3 years and Whiskey the dog. She is a reluctant turned avid runner, who I know that also well, and a food obsessed fanatic who loves lifting heavy stuff. So without further ado, I am gonna turn everything over to Dr. Terry, and we're gonna talk a little bit about what you hear me mention all the time, biopsychosocial approach. So medical, the therapy counseling, and then the pelvic floor PT. And that is where Terry fits into that. So go ahead and have at it.
Yeah, well, thank you all so much both for having me. I'm really excited to be here. And it's really just my passion as well to demystify and destigmatize pelvic floor and, you know, bowel, bladder, and sexual function, because these are things that we all have. And, you know, we all deal with different various challenges. And so, yeah, let's talk about it. So feel free to shoot questions at all of us, and we're really, really happy to hear from you. So yeah, speaking to your biopsychosocial statement there, that is definitely something that I've been really trying to focus on so much lately. And it is quite difficult because we go through so many years of PT school that gets a lot of, you know, lip service to biopsychosocial, but really we just learn a lot about the bio. And so, you know, sometimes you end up leaving school and not knowing how to really address when someone does have mental health challenges, or not even mental health challenges, but just the things that come along with, you know, the psychological influences and how we recover from injury, and how we, you know, move about in the world. And they're so intricately linked. So I would just like to share a little bit about how I came around to pelvic health. I had an interest quite early, you know, from my teen years. I was that girl who was reading Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom and other, you know, authors. And I was confused about my own sexuality as I was growing up. And, you know, I had experienced sexual trauma myself. And, you know, through just going through my difficult teen years, I ended up going to massage school and learning that there were physical therapists who could actually access some of these muscles internally, which was really interesting to me. And I kind of put it in the back of my mind. And then after PT school, going through in a hospital system, learning that incontinence was such a big problem, and sexual health issues were so such a much needed area of support for people. I dove in to some coursework and mentoring and just absolutely found that it was, you know, felt like home to me as a specialty. So I absolutely love, it's my favorite thing. I'm the one who at parties, you know, I'm off in a corner chattering about, you know, sex and pee and poo with everyone. So I absolutely love, that people will share those most intimate details of their lives with me, and that I can try and find ways to help them with things that are incredibly important. And, you know, they often end up sharing things that, you know, their doctors don't know about. So I just feel so incredibly fortunate to be in this position to be able to help people with this.
Can I jump in? So of course, my whole life is trauma-informed. I work in trafficking. I'm a sexual assault nurse. My brain bleeds trauma-informed. And you kind of brought up having a history of some sexual trauma. And I want to know where you kind of fall on the PT spectrum and how that helps patients that need someone that's very trauma-informed, and how that fits in such a place that is so intimate, that you're touching intimate places and places that can cause triggers for people.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think that, you know, having had some experiences myself, definitely lends a different perspective, but it's certainly by no means something that someone needs to have gone through to be trauma informed. But I do think that, you know, understanding that, you know, when you go to see someone, a lot of times they have their own personal experiences. And you know, something that I always think about when I'm working with people, I kind of just assume that everyone has had different experiences that may or may not have been traumatic. And I approach it from that way. And I think that the most important thing with being trauma-informed and working with people and potentially touching very sensitive places that may trigger people is that, you know, explaining very well what we're going to do, getting enthusiastic consent and consent along the way, and finding ways not just to empower people, but just to recognize that they are already powerful, and really putting all the decisions in their own hands for every single step of the way. And so I would love to talk about, you know, what kinds of things we do in therapy, because really it is a choose your own adventure. So I do encourage people to tell me exactly what they are comfortable with and how they want to do things. And I think just having that honored for people is so powerful, and it does create a place of safety and comfort. But still, people do sometimes get triggered during sessions. I've certainly had people go into panic attacks during treatment. And, you know, that's where that biopsychosocial approach can be really helpful, and to have some strategies for helping people through things. Although I'm not a mental health counselor, I would love to someday add that to my to my list of things I can do to help. But yeah, those are definitely some things that I find helpful.
Yeah, and I think you need to be trauma-informed regardless. Even if there's not a history of trauma, you're still touching very intimate places. And so that could trigger someone that may not have had a trauma response. So I think just in the work we do as sex med providers, like, we always have to wear that lens.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think too, like, for our listeners and just personally and generally, before knowing about, I guess, that there were actually therapists or physical therapists who only dealt with the pelvic floor, it could be kind of scary if your provider is telling you, as a patient, you know, you need PT therapy for this, or you need, you know, this can really help you. And you're just thinking, like, what is that? What does that entail? So I guess, Terry, like, will you, for our listeners that are thinking about, oh, my doctor actually told me to go get PT, or, you know, that maybe that's something that could help my condition. Can you kind of walk us through what is an appointment entail? What does that look like for a patient who's coming in and is just naive to what goes on in your world?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. What to expect. Yeah. So like I said, it really is a choose your own adventure. You definitely, no matter what, can expect a lot of talking. We spend a lot of time with people that we work with, not just gathering medical history and gynecologic history and all of that, but really trying to understand what's important to your life, where are you limited by your symptoms, and how can we together create a plan for you to live the life you want to live. So lots and lots of talking. And then, you know, as far as physical assessment goes, it really depends on what someone is coming in for, but you can expect a general movement assessment of someone fully clothed, looking at kind of how they move. And then from there, it really depends again on what someone's coming in for and how they want to be assessed. Some people don't want to be touched. We can do a full assessment without having to touch you at all if you don't want to be touched. In fact, teletherapy or telehealth is a great option for people who either, you know, really don't care to be touched or are just in a place where maybe they don't have access to therapy or somewhere much more rural. So I'm happy to talk about that more. But we can just look at someone, look at how things are moving. If it's okay with the person, we can even, you know, look at their genital tissue, see what's going on, see how their pelvic floor is moving, and we can get a lot of information without even touching someone. If someone is okay with us touching them, what we do is we will step out of the room, we'll let someone dress down from the waist down and get under a sheet. My clinic where I am is very warm and cozy. It's kind of like a spa-like atmosphere. It's not very clinical at all. So I've got nice fluffy blankets and warm flannel sheets. And then I knock on the door before I come back in, you know, and I check in with the patient throughout the examination. You know, how are you doing? This is what I'd like to do next. Would you like, is that okay with you? You know, like I said, enthusiastic consent along the way. So I may look and see how someone's breathing, because breathing and pelvic floor really do go hand in hand. I'll probably look at a lot of the tissue around the abdomen, see how hips are moving, because you know, we're still physical therapists, and how the pelvic floor and the hips and other joints in the body work together really are important. And then if it is warranted that, you know, we do need to have a look at genitalia, you know, we'll ask again, we'll uncover, we'll do a visual assessment, meaning we'll look and see what's going on, looking at skin health, looking at, again, how pelvic floor muscles are moving. We can tell a lot. We test just basically, you know, just making sure that everything is checking all the boxes, kind of. And then if someone, again, is up for it, if it's warranted, we'll ask them, you know, is it okay with you if we do an internal assessment? We don't use speculums in physical therapy. We just use single gloved lubricated finger. And then we may palpate, meaning feel how the muscles are contracting and releasing, their coordination. And then we'll feel, again, if it's okay, the muscles internally and intravaginally or intrarectally, depending on the tissues that are present. So really it does depend so much on not just what conditions or what the complaints are, but what someone's up for. And we can get so much information. If someone's not ready for an internal examination yet, we can save it for some other time, or we can hold off. It's really, there's, again, choose your own adventure. So yeah, any other questions about that?
Yeah, that's really interesting. So it's almost like an experience too, like a comfortable experience in addition to like a doctor's visit. I don't know. It's just kind of cool. I think of going to like the masseuse, like you're getting like a service, but then it's still like you're in a comfortable space and you're not doing anything that you don't want to do. So I think that's really important for people to hear, because you don't know what that looks like behind that door, or like what's going to happen. So,
I did just want to mention, we can also, you know, assess how pelvic floor muscles are moving and working without someone getting undressed at all, just by palpating through clothing. We do sometimes also look and see how things are moving with a person standing. So that's really important for prolapse and other conditions, to see what's going on functionally. And then we do also quite a bit of education and follow up after with, you know, what we found, what we think will help, and put together a plan.
Do you often send people home, like with homework, for instance, like tools, dilators, or I know, you know, some Kegel exercise, like do you send people home like with things to do or ways to help themselves when they're not with you?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a huge part of what we do, because really we're trying to teach people how to care for their own bodies, how to do their own therapy. And, you know, I even have it on a plaque on my wall: you are your own healer, because I'm not here to fix you. Really, the magic happens at home with what you can do with your body. And I'm just here to, you know, offer my suggestions and guidance. So we do fairly robust home programs with exercises. Sometimes it's pelvic floor muscle strengthening, or Kegels, as people know, but Kegels are not really for everyone. So sometimes it's called down training, or pelvic floor muscle relaxation. Sometimes pelvic floor may not even be involved. It may be something else going on. So it really does depend. We do a lot of bowel and bladder retraining. So a lot of information on, you know, toileting, how to sit, how to prop up your knees to improve your poops, and, you know, lots and lots of different suggestions and exercises. And then we do also, you know, try to integrate it into what someone's interests are, you know, particularly with return to sport and things like that. So I love, you know, CrossFitting, heavy lifting as well. So I love working with people who have maybe pelvic floor dysfunction with some sport issues, and where those two kind of intersections meet. So.
Yeah, that's great. So I want to jump to telehealth for a second, because I want you to debunk this real fast for our listeners. When you say telehealth, I think people are thinking of, oh my gosh, do I have to put my parts in front of the Zoom and I have to bend over and I have to show you? And I think that terrifies people. So I want to know what a telehealth visit looks like and what they show you. Do they send you pictures of their parts, and kind of what does that look like for a patient?
Sure. So I have not had anyone send me pictures or video, but and really, to be honest, it's just been about 6 months for me that I've been doing telehealth, really since kind of the pandemic got. Yes,
thank you, COVID, for that.
Yes.
A whole new way of thinking.
Yeah. And it was something I had actually planned on doing anyway. And then when the pandemic happened anyway, so now so many more people are open to it, which is amazing. And it really can improve access for so many people. But, you know, really we do the most, like I said, the most important part of the PT examination, the pelvic PT session, is the talking part, understanding what your symptoms are and what your concerns are, and the history gives us a really great idea of what's going on. And we can make a great plan with just that information. But we do also look at how people are moving clothed, especially if there's pain in an area or other kind of musculoskeletal or sport complaints. If it seems like the pelvic floor muscles need to be assessed, I actually have a handout that I email people or send to people that talks them through how to evaluate themselves. And it's really empowering because I think that learning what your body looks like and feels like is really powerful and really wonderful information. And then we talk through it. What did you find? What did you feel? Because really what someone finds and what someone feels is what is important. So did things feel tight to you? Did it feel painful? And talk through, did it feel painful at this level or at this layer? And then we can start to develop a plan based on that. So I don't have people put their genitalia in the video
or send me pictures. Tell them that they have to feel their own parts. How do they do? Because I mean, in my practice, I'm just getting a mirror down there and showing them things, that's sometimes the first time they've ever done that.
A lot of times it's the first time they've ever done that. And that's something that even if I'm not doing telehealth, I encourage people to do. And because there is so much stigma on what we look like and what other people look like and shame around what, do I look normal? Do I look like this other, especially for women or people with vulvas, you know, what's going on down there? So it's good to know what you look like, what you feel like, so that you can know if there's changes for one. But I do think that, you know, sometimes people are confused because they will look for the first time and say, well, I didn't know I looked like that. Or, you know, is this normal? Is that normal? And so, you know, it does take a certain amount of kind of talking people through what's normal and that there are so many variations and so many differences that are completely normal with the way that genitalia look and function. So,
absolutely. I think I spend half my visit saying, you're normal. This looks okay. I'll get, well, doesn't the labia seem longer or this or that? So I'm always giving resources to Labia Library, the Beautiful Cervix Project. I mean, there's so many wonderful resources out there to help patients through this all day long. And I mean, I'll pull them out there in the middle. Here's my iPad. Let me show you this. And I mean, that's what's so beautiful is everyone's different and everyone is normal. And
it's true.
Normalizing it, because we've done a terrible job in society.
I think we could do a whole session on anatomy in general and just letting people know what you're feeling down there, what you're seeing down there, and you know, everything serves a purpose and nobody is the same as the next person. I think that's one of the huge points that people think, oh, I'm different, I'm weird, like this isn't right, but no, it's the time.
Absolutely. And I completely get it, because I had a lot of those same feelings. You know, I will share that, you know, I had back in my college days, someone made fun of me and I heard that there was some people talking about how I looked weird or different. And oh my gosh, that just, you know, you internalize that and you crush that. Or it crushes you, you know. And even when I went for pelvic floor therapy myself, when I was a pelvic health therapist, I needed to get my own therapy after my son was born. And I couldn't help myself. I said to my therapist, like, I was like apologizing for how I looked. And she's like, what are you talking about? So even someone who's, you know, woke, like a pelvic PT, we have, you know, very deeply ingrained stigma about how we look and differences in our anatomy that, you know, it's not easy to overcome. Yeah.
No, absolutely. And I think part of it is that, like you said, I spend half my days just saying, no, this is normal. This is what it looks like. This, you're okay. We just got to normalize. We got to get it out there. And I think that's part of why Tara and I wanted to start this platform and why we want all these amazing people, just to keep telling people, you're normal. You're okay. This is good. But it's amazing how one thing someone can say, even in our adult years, we're supposed to be better about this in our adult years, but it's amazing. One thing people can say, and it just wrecks you. I mean, body image and sexual health all go hand in hand without a doubt. And one plays on the other for sure.
Another thing I was just thinking of is that even for parents who are listening, who may have children, daughters that are growing up and going through those, you know, puberty and those secondary sex characteristics, and just knowing what they're having to go through and starting those talks with them early about self-image, self-care, normalizing that and letting them know, you know, everybody's body is different and your body is exactly the way that it should be. You know, it's just like starting to ingrain in them at a young age, not to feel those, not to get that stigma in their brain, but to be accepting of every look.
Yeah. And a lot of that is how we feel about and how we talk about our own bodies in front of our children. So I definitely am, you know, very careful about that. And, you know, I happen to be naked around my child whenever it happens. So, and he's asked me like, what is that? I'm like, that's mommy's vulva. We just, you know, we talk about it. We use the medical terms for things, and yeah, trying to be body positive and sex positive for him, is really important, because all those little messages definitely make a difference. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I know, there's a provider that I talk to a lot out of California, and they have twin girls, and they're OBGYNs, and they're so ingrained with just the vocabulary and like knowing the anatomy and stuff, that the girls were taking a bath and they're like, look, mommy, we're washing our vulvas. It's just like, yes.
I love it that someone actually knows that it's a vulva and not a vagina.
The vagina. You're not in the vagina. You're on the outside. Exactly. So,
yes.
Too funny. Yeah.
Makes a huge difference. So you talked a little bit about, so we always talk about women. I like to throw it out there. Do you see men in your practice? Do you see trans? Do you kind of see everything? And what does that look like? And how do things differ for them as opposed to women that may have pelvic floor dysfunction?
Yeah, sure. I do see all genders. So I see men, I see gender non-binary. I have not seen cared for very many trans patients, but I would absolutely love to. I've done some mentoring and taken a course on it, but I have not yet had the opportunity. So I see a good bit more women than men. The men that I tend to see, It tends to be their symptoms are a little bit more severe. I'm not sure why, but I think that for men that things have to get pretty bad before they'll go see someone. And I do tend to see a good bit of like post-prostatectomy or chronic pelvic pain, other symptoms for men. And there's a lot of things that, you know, people don't really know that pelvic health physical therapists can help with, for example, like erectile dysfunction. Who would have known that a PT can potentially help with that, with at least the musculoskeletal, you know, parts of ED. So I, like I said, I see more women, but I'm happy to see men as well, and have seen a number of men, and they're really fun to work with. Yeah, I love all genders, and I see in my practice older teens through adults. I'm not a pediatric pelvic health therapist. So
I think it's kind of funny, like the whole reason for this platform, again, not the whole reason, but part of it is that as a pharmacist, we get patients that come in and we're counseling and we're talking to them about their drug medication that they've been prescribed, men and women. And then it's funny, the women, this is just generalization, but the women, once we, you know, say they have something for vulvodynia or vaginismus or something, you get them, they're kind of nervous at first, and then they start asking the questions, and then you start asking questions and you're like, you know what, we see this all day, every day. No question is question is an embarrassing question. And then the floodgates just open and they're just like, oh, and they're telling you about all these things and you're just like, great. And then men too, they're kind of nervous, especially, you know, talking to a woman maybe, or I don't know what it is, but once you get to talking to them and they like, oh, you know what you're talking about, erectile dysfunction, and the floodgates open, and then they go on all these tangents and you're just like, good. Like, this, yeah. But we need people to like be able to be comfortable saying these things.
Absolutely. We want people to know, and to be comfortable speaking with us. Mm-hmm. And I did just think about one other tip or tool that, you know, if the people that are listening do have questions or discomfort about how they look, feeling like they maybe might not look normal, or just getting comfortable. We did already mention, you know, trying to get comfortable looking at yourself with a mirror pretty frequently. That is one way. And another way that I love and have been using quite a bit recently is the genital coloring books by Heather Edwards. So I've been ripping out pages of that and giving it to people as homework, where they go and they color these beautiful, you know, pictures of very different looking genitals. And it is, I think, been really, really helpful for people. So if you're artsy, creative, or even if you're not, you know, getting those out and learning and finding ways to celebrate our differences can be really, really healing.
Oh, I think so too. And I think part of it too, like I see in the back of your, in the corner, you have pictures that are on the walls, and just showing them, like, this is kind of what your female parts are. They're all going to look different. But I love the coloring books. I think it's that piece of even mindfulness or kind of just wholeness, where they just kind of can do that coloring and get comfortable and understand that as well. I've given it to a lot of patients too.
And Heather, you had mentioned some other resources. You said the Labia Library. What was the other resource you mentioned?
So I use Labia Library and the Beautiful Cervix Project. The Beautiful Cervix Project's awesome because it actually has a speculum, for the most part, inserted inside, just so that you can actually see different cervices of people, what it may look like with discharge or an IUD in place or an Ebothian cyst or just things that are normal in nature. But if you saw it, you'd probably be terrified. And you're like, oh my gosh, what is going on down there? So I use it a lot in a lot of my trainings. And then I think the Labial Library, if I'm not mistaken, is based out of the UK. And it just, it's a project that was put together, I think, by a photographer, if you will, that it's just all different parts and colors, like what labia looks like from different people of color and older, younger, things in that nature.
Yeah. I got to see the I can't remember what the art exhibit is called, but the one with all the ceramic sculptures of different labia, just like walls and walls covered with different beautiful ceramic sculptures. And I did want to mention another, for those of you who haven't seen it, they're on Netflix, that Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop. Series. They have the one episode where they show vulvas at the end, which I was like, on Netflix, I was flipping out. I was like, yes, they're actually showing in a body positive way these beautiful different you know, expressions of vulvas. It's great.
Yeah. And I think that's part of our role as sex med providers. I mean, we just really need to just put body positivity out there in all different venues and all different places where we can, and just keep preaching.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and so like you said, I really wanted people to understand that pelvic PT is not as terrifying as it sounds. And I think you've done a lot around kind of unbunking that. I think we think of PT as like, oh, okay, I can go there for my arm, my leg, my this, my that. But when you think about it in your pelvis and in your private intimate parts, people are just, they almost kind of shut down.
Yeah. And you don't, and so many people just don't even know that help exists for these problems, or what normal is and what is different, you know, and just feel like they have to accept the symptoms or the limitations that they have. And I really do encourage everyone who's listening, you know, if you have questions about things, if you have, you know, pain or limitations or other things in that area, to seek out care, even if it's just through the computer. There's so much we can do.
So one more thing that I want to ask too, because I know we'll get asked this. I know you're in North Carolina. Because you're in a telehealth space, could someone from Georgia see you? What does that look like?
Someone from Georgia can see me because I'm licensed in Georgia.
Okay.
So I'm licensed in North Carolina, Georgia.
Somewhere else.
So it depends. So I can do consultations where, you know, I can answer questions, I can talk to you, I can do lots of stuff, but for an actual evaluation and plan, actual therapy is a little bit different. I do need to be licensed where you are. So I can only do that in North Carolina and Georgia. But there's a lot that can be done with a consultation, which is just a lot more general information. And I'm also very happy if someone does want a more thorough evaluation to help them find someone in their area. I've got a huge network of wonderful people, not just in this country, but in other countries as well. So
that's incredible. So how do our viewers find you? And if they have questions, do you give stuff out on Instagram? How do we find you?
Yeah. So my Instagram handle is @Terri, @Terri .elder.dpt. And then my website is www.thrive-pt.com. Those are the easiest two ways to find me. If you go on the website, I've got all my contact information there. I'm not posting every day, but I do post a few times a week on Instagram, some personal, some, you know, pelvic health. So it's a bit of a mixture. I like to have all everything on one account. So.
Oh, Instagram, our labors of love. I never thought to be so crazy in the social media space, you know? Yes,
it is. So, and then if you're looking for, you know, a pelvic health physical therapist and you don't know where to start, there are some great resources. You can look on APTA.com. There are also occupational therapists who treat pelvic floor, do the same, very similar to what we do. And so they probably wouldn't be on the APTA website, but you can also look on the Global Pelvic Health Alliance. Mm-hmm. Has a really wonderful listserv as well. So the website there, I believe, is GPHAM, GPHAM. If you search up Global Pelvic Health Alliance, you can find a pelvic health physical therapist there as well. So I encourage you to reach out, ask questions.
Awesome. I'm going to let Terri carry us out, but I'll start by saying we cannot wait for February. It's kind of that love month. We're going to be teaming up with some of our colleagues, also again in Brevard, North Carolina, the Fosnight Center with Elise Fosnight. Terri and I are going to jump in and do some Q&A, some live and some giveaways. We may even do a little anatomy 101. This kind of sparked my little interest as we were sitting in here talking about this. And then we're going to have the amazing Dr. Lindsay Harper from the Rosie app as well in the middle of the month to steer us into, I'm going to call it Galentine's Day, even though I cater to everyone. I'm not going to call it Valentine's Day. I think it's just this made up Hallmark holiday. So we're going to say Galentine's Day, and it's going to be geared around health, sexual function, and all those things. So Terri, lead us out. Thanks to all our listeners and viewers.
Yes. Thank you all so much. And Terri, thank you so much for being our Season 2 opener. We could not have started with a more fitting person. So much knowledge that you provided today for our listeners. And we didn't even get to talk about it. We'll have to bring you back on later, but she works with cancer survivors, patients who are going through radiation, oncology. She works with postpartum, with fitness injuries. So Terri, just she's been in several different realms of the pelvic floor therapy. So definitely a fountain of information to definitely hang on to. Thank you, Terri, for being here. We really, really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much for having me. It was really fun. Yeah.
Of course. And like Heather said, next month, February, is love month. So we are going to be definitely packed, fun-filled month for us in terms of sexual medicine, because it's when everybody's thinking about it and giving each other flowers and bottles of wine. So we will see you guys back then. Until then, I want to remind you, if you have any questions that you thought about during the show, please, please, please put them in the comments. Please email us. Please let us know what your questions are. We are happy to, if we don't know the answers ourselves, we will find them for you or get you hooked up with the right person. If you do want to remain anonymous, just send us a private message via Facebook or Instagram or something, and we will certainly keep that to ourselves and get back with you with an answer. So again, thank you everyone for being here. We hope you learned something new today, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.